The great inevitability of life, of course, is death. Then what?
Thank you for joining the worldwide radio ministry of the Wesleyan Hour with our speaker, Dr. Norman Wilson, music by the Rick Webb Trio, and the Wesleyan Hour singers. Join us now for a time of inspiration and instruction from God's Word.
A doctor recently announced that a certain new medicine would lower the mortality rate, but he was wrong. The mortality rate will stay where it has always been, one for one. Every person who is alive today will die. A prominent businessman was speaking at a conference near Oxford University, and he said, "As you know, I have been very fortunate in my career, and I have made a lot of money, far more than I ever dreamed of, far more than I could ever spend, far more than my family needs." The strength of his determination and character showed in his face, but a moment's hesitation betrayed deeper emotions hidden behind the outward intensity. A single tear rolled slowly down his well-tanned cheek, and he said, "To be honest, one of my motives for making so much money was simple, to have the money to hire people to do what I don't like doing. But there's one thing I've never been able to hire someone to do for me, find my own sense of purpose and fulfillment. I'd give anything to discover that," he said. Quoting from that man's testimony, Os Guinness, in his book The Call, says, "Sooner or later, every one of us confronts the question, how do I find and fulfill the central purpose of my life?" No matter what criteria you set for yourself as a standard for success, wealth, power, position, possessions, knowledge, friendships, nothing will satisfy if you can't answer this basic question of purpose. Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? The one missing ingredient in the lives of many modern people is significance. We all want to make a difference. We long to leave a legacy, or as Ralph Waldo Emerson put it, to leave the world a bit better. I believe there is something within the heart and soul of every person that longs for meaning and fulfillment of purpose. Kierkegaard wrote in his journal, "The thing is to understand myself, to see what God really wants me to do. The thing is to find a truth which is true for me, to find the idea for which I can live and die." It began in the Garden Paradise when God created man in his own image. You and I know that the image of God stamped upon Adam in creation was not facial features or physical stature. God is a spirit, the Bible says, and a spirit does not have flesh and bone and shape and form. It was rather a moral and spiritual likeness. And part of that spiritual image was a self-awareness and an eternal purpose. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there was a tree of life. The only negative command Adam had was, "Do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And the punishment was assured, "In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Adam could have chosen life, but instead he chose to disobey God, and in that moment he introduced death into the human family. And from that day until now, people have been afraid of death and are looking for peace. This is the fourth and final message in my series titled, Something to Believe In. And today's theme I have called, Afraid Looking for Peace. If that describes you, if you are afraid and looking for peace, then I want to offer you something to believe in. Death is the most democratic of all of life's experiences because every one of us must participate in it. In fact, one man said, "Death is more universal than life. Everyone dies, but not everyone lives." The Bible talks about those people who are dead while they are living. You've heard the old cliche, only two things are certain, death and taxes. Well, I've heard of people who are able to avoid paying taxes, but no one can escape death. Someone once asked about the death rate in one of the developing nations in Africa. "It is one out of one," he was told. "Everyone will die." And that's the death rate for every nation under heaven, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9:27. And there are no exceptions to that. No one will be left out. No one will escape. To the average person, that seems like a stark and hopeless situation. Hundreds of philosophies and scores of religions have been invented by men in their efforts to circumvent the Word of God. Modern philosophers and psychologists are still trying to make it appear that there is some other way out. But the universal testimony of thousands of years is always the same. All men die. Rich men cannot buy their way out of it, nor are poor men overlooked. Educated men, with all of their learning, cannot find a way to get around it. The king in the palace and the pauper in the hut with a dirt floor must face it. Death is a frequent visitor to the tenement slums, but it comes with no less regularity to the mansions in the suburbs. For the young, it is possible. For the old, it is inevitable. Usually, we think of death as happening only to other people. We don't like to admit to growing old, and we don't like to think about dying. In fact, death is a forbidden subject in most of our conversations, and yet it is very real to every one of us. A friend of mine once asked a co-worker, "Do you ever think about death?" And the reply was, "I try not to." But sometimes we must think about it. A few years ago, our local newspaper carried the story about the death of a well-known and popular television actor. A day or two later, I turned on the television, and a rerun of one of his old programs just happened to be what was being broadcast at that moment. As the screen brightened and the picture became visible, it was that familiar face smiling out at me. He looked so alive, so young, so strong, so vital. But he was already dead. Why do we fear death? Because, as with so many things, it is the fear of the unknown. What is it like to die? What lies beyond the grave? How could I be sure that I'm ready to die? We don't know the answers to these and other questions about death, and because it is unknown, it is feared. Today, many people are living in the bondage of fear. In a recent study, a psychiatrist said that the greatest problem facing his patients was fear. Afraid of going insane, afraid of committing suicide, afraid of being alone, or afraid of disease, heart trouble, cancer, or AIDS, afraid of terrorism, disaster, and perhaps the greatest fear of all, he said, was the fear of death. We're becoming a nation of fearful people. Someone has listed over 100 fears that plague and torment people, but most often we are afraid of that which is unknown. In recent years, we have heard many stories about people who have had what is called out-of-body experience or near-death experiences. Because of accident or illness, they came very close to death. In some instances, their heart actually stopped beating. Some have been pronounced dead. Then they've been revived and returned to tell about their experience. Some talk about seeing a bright light or passing through a tunnel or hearing someone call their name. The one common thread seems to run through these reports is that it was not an altogether unpleasant experience. In fact, some have said it was very pleasant, and they wanted to go on rather than to come back. One woman, just before she died, said, "Well, if this is dying, there is nothing very unpleasant about it." But even with such testimonies, most of us have very little first-hand knowledge about death. Modern medical techniques with great hospitals and sophisticated equipment and the latest in life-saving methods have separated most of us from the harsh reality of death. Although there is a resurgence of home treatment, the hospice movement, family care, and so on, most people today die in the sterile but lonely environment of an intensive care unit with family members excluded, shut out to wait in a comfortable lounge. Not too many years ago, most people died at home, surrounded by family and neighbors and friends. People were more familiar with death. Even the children often witnessed as a family member died. But even without that first-hand knowledge, we can conquer the fear of death through the reliable witness of the Word of God. The writer of Hebrews said, "Since the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself," that is speaking of Jesus, "likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage." In other words, Jesus Christ, the immortal Son of God, became flesh and blood, took the body of a man, so that he could taste death for us. And by his dying, he is able to deliver all of us who live in fear of death. First of all, it may help us to overcome the fear of death if we understand its origin. The Bible teaches that death was introduced into the human family through the disobedience of Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, the Apostle Paul wrote. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, Romans 5:12. God had warned Adam, "Do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Satan came along and said, "Oh, you won't really die." And you know the story. Adam listened to the voice of Satan, disobeyed God, and in that moment, he introduced death into the human family. Now, it is true that Adam did not drop over dead on the spot. He did die immediately, however. He died spiritually. He died morally. He lost the moral likeness of God. He broke fellowship with God and was driven out of the garden paradise. But he continued to live and breathe and work and function in this world. Even outside of the garden, Adam and Eve established a home, raised a family, and the Bible says Adam lived 930 years. Satan may have come along and said, "See, I told you you wouldn't really die. You're still living." But from that moment of disobedience on, Adam was dying. And the final words of his biography read, "And he died." Adam did not die because of some arbitrary decree of God. His death was the direct result of his disobedience and sin. And just as death came by disobedience and sin, life comes through obedience and faith in Jesus Christ. As in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Then we can overcome the fear of death when we realize that death is already defeated. In speaking of death, the Bible says it is the last enemy. It is the last opportunity Satan has, his last chance. But it also teaches that this enemy will ultimately be destroyed forever. That, in fact, it has already been defeated at the cross and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said Jesus has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1:10. When Jesus came out of the tomb, the Bible says, he held the keys of death and hell, and he announced, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." The Gaithers wrote, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because he lives." Fear of death is also eliminated by our hope of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul said, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If in this life only," he said, "we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Then Paul continued, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept." In other words, not only did Christ rise from the dead, but those who died in Christ Jesus will also live with him. Way back in his day, Job thought about death and the possibility of a resurrection. He must have looked at a tree that had fallen and was sprouting again. And he asked the question, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Job 14:14. What he really wanted to know was, "If I die, will I live again? For there is hope of a tree," he said, "if it is cut down, that it will sprout again. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud. But man dies and wastes away. Yes, man gives up the ghost. And where is he?" There are those who deny the reality of the resurrection. They try to tell us that death is final. The grave is our end. Their philosophy is, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And when we are dead, we are gone and forgotten." But Jesus Christ teaches us that involved in his resurrection is the promise of our own resurrection. Because he lives, we shall live also. Paul said, "By man, the first Adam, came death. But by the second Adam, Christ, came also the resurrection from the dead." And then we can be free from the fear of death by the hope of eternal life. The fear of death and the certainty of life is the longing of the soul. The Bible promises, "Whosoever believeth in him," that is Christ, "shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Thinking of the fullness and duration of this wonderful life, W.B. Hinson, a great preacher of the past generation, spoke from his own experience just before he died. He said, I remembered a year ago when the doctor told me you have an illness from which you will not recover. I walked out to where I live. I looked across at that mountain that I love. I looked at the river, and I looked at the stately trees. Then in the evening I looked up into the great sky where God was lighting his lamps. And I said, I may not see you many more times, but mountain, I shall be alive when you are gone. And river, I shall be alive when you cease running toward the sea. And stars, I shall be alive when you have fallen from your sockets in the great down-pulling of this material universe. Christians are not afraid of death. As the Apostle Paul said, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, and by that, of course, he meant the body, if this body is destroyed, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. John in the book of Revelation saw a time when death will be no more. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, he said. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. The fear of death is defeated, and we live in the glorious hope of the resurrection. Well, I wondered about you today, my friend. Are you afraid of death? Are you looking for peace? Would you like to know that you can not only have life now, but you can have life hereafter, eternal life, abundant life? You can through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can conquer the fear of death. You can live with confidence, with joy, a real sense of assurance that all is well with your soul. You can live with a sense of purpose and meaning. When you come to the end of life, you can know that you have an eternal legacy. You may never have much money to leave to your children. Your estate here may be meager, but you can know that you have a treasure in heaven where moth and rust cannot corrupt and thieves can never break through and steal. The old-timers used to talk about sudden death meaning sudden glory. To be absent from the body, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. In fact, Paul said he had a desire to die. Rather than dreading and fearing death, he actually anticipated it. He longed for it. He said, for me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. If I am going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it is more needful for you that I remain in the body. I'm going to pray, as we do each week at this time in the broadcast. I would like to know that you are praying with me. It may be you have never thought much about death and dying. You're young. Your health is good. You have big plans for a long and ambitious future. You've been thinking only about life, not death. But it's amazing how quickly and brazenly death can intrude on our plans. Every weekend, for example, scores of young people, just like you, anticipating tomorrow, planning their future, living as if they will live forever, are suddenly thrust out into eternity, ready or not. You may be reaching middle age. Occasionally you have thoughts about the advancement of your years. Something reminds you that you're not as young as you once were, but you're busy. You're climbing ladders of success. You're involved in community projects and the social world. Thoughts of death are the farthest things from your mind, but suddenly a pain across your chest or a peculiar lump and thoughts of death come rushing in, accompanied with fear. Or you may be advanced in years. Your family is gone. Your mate has preceded you in death, and now you know your life cannot be much longer. Your 40 years have been used up, and you wonder, what about death? Jesus is the answer for all of you today. Young person, live for Christ. Put your future in his hands, and let him direct your life. You who are in middle years, there is no better time to turn your life over to Christ than right now. And if you are advanced in years, time is short. I plead with you, come to Christ today. If you have the Son of God, the Bible says, you have life. Without him, you will not see life, but the wrath of God abides against you. Let's pray. Jesus, I come to thee. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the provision that you have made for life. By one man sin entered into the world, and death came by sin. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But praise God, by one man, Jesus Christ, life has been provided for whosoever will. I pray for this person today who is afraid of death, looking for the peace that only you can give. Lord, hear our prayer for forgiveness. We freely confess our sins before you. We believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, sent to save us from death. Today we accept him as the master of our lives. We dedicate the rest of our lives to serving you, as Jesus did. Oh God, you have defeated death. We accept the life and peace that you give to us through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that your life is our hope, because you live, we live, and we will live forever. In Jesus' name, amen.